Back here on the Bernie and Sid Show. I got to tell you, I'm really thrilled and excited to have this next guest. I really am. Here on the Bernie and Sid Show. And he's just a prolific author, but a smart guy, a brilliant guy. He's done a lot in his life, and he does stuff today that's kind of, maybe can't even talk about all this stuff. Anyway, his latest book, he's always on the New York Times bestseller list. He writes these great thrillers, and his latest is called Spymaster, and it's released today, July 3rd, believe it or not. Brad Thor, the New York Times bestselling author, in studio with Bernie and Sid. Brad, good to have you, man.
It's great to be with you guys. Thanks for having me back, Bernie.
Good. That's right, your second time. By the way, tomorrow was actually July 3rd, not today. Today's July 2nd. But that's okay because...
Oh, man.
Because what Brad has done for us is...
You know what? I got to quit the drugs, Brad.
The book comes out tomorrow, so you're doing the Today Show tomorrow.
I am, tomorrow morning.
But you did our show first.
First, yeah.
So FNBC. No, congratulations.
Thank
as Bernie
you.
Said, 18 of these, and you know, some of the Last Patriot, great book, and Use of Force, great book, and
thank
a lot
you.
Of these books center around these international thrillers, which of course is something that you actually did in your own life. And this one is what about a bunch of diplomats getting murdered in Europe, and who's doing these things
and who's behind it? So you know, we've got Trump's going over to do the meeting with NATO this month, this month,
before Putin.
Yeah, they're going to meet in Helsinki, I think, with Putin. But it's interesting because the NATO people are really, really worried about Putin, and they're particularly the smaller NATO countries are very concerned that if Putin tried to snatch them and drag them back into the old USSR, that we might not come to their aid.
And that's why this book is very, very topical. It deals with all that.
And it's a thriller. I mean, it's not a nonfiction book. It's supposed to be a good beach read, you know?
Your protagonist, as usual, is this ex-Navy SEAL, Scott.
Scott Harvath.
Harvath, yes. Yep. And he works for the government. Well, now, in this case, he works for sort of a government contractor for the CIA.
Yes, that provides them plausible deniability so he can go out and do stuff that it doesn't have the U.S. fingerprints on.
All your books are very topical. I'm curious. How far out did you start this book? I mean, is it just by coincidence sometimes that the nature of the book happens to be in exact step, Brad, with what's going on today?
You know, there's a lot of the stuff that I've written about that ends up happening in the real world.
Right.
I started this last summer. We put it to bed just after the new year and started doing the editing and everything. But that's part of what I do. That's what I did for the government, too, is to read the tea leaves and try to say, this is what's going to come next.
Really? Can you tell me who's going to win the Super Bowl this year?
I'm working on today's lottery numbers first, Sid, all right? We're going to go slow, brother. It's my first cup of coffee. Don't make it too hard on me.
This is what Brad Thor did or does, I believe. He still does that. Yep. He worked for the government, and he creates terrorist scenarios for the CIA, for the government agencies. And, you know, this might happen. It could happen this way. It could happen that way. And he presents that to them, and they react accordingly. I mean, that's a big-time job, obviously.
It's at the Department of Homeland Security, and it was originally called the Analytic Red Cell Unit. And they realized after 9/11 that part of the reason that happened is because they didn't have enough imagination. You know, we complain a lot that the government is fighting the next thing by looking in the rearview mirror, thinking it's going to be like the last thing. And so they said, we've got to bring in people into D.C. from outside D.C. who are creative. So they brought in me, another great author, Brad Meltzer, Michael Bay, who did the Transformers and movies in Benghazi. So that was the gig. Come in and help them think outside the box.
We had Brad Meltzer on here.
Such a good guy.
And by the way, we had James Patterson on recently, who I know you did some work for as well.
I've never written with Patterson.
You never have?
Never, no. I've never co-authored at all. It's all been my own stuff.
Oh, so
you had Jimmy P in here.
He was on the phone last week about the Bill Clinton book. So.
How bizarre
that's
was
right.
That? Yeah. Was that tour with the Bill Clinton? I mean...
He really got... He ran into a buzzsaw with the Me Too stuff, and it was just bad
really
response
did.
After bad response.
He was in the wrong place at the wrong time. Patterson, he got run over.
Yeah.
Patterson was like a statue.
But they sold a hell of a lot of books.
Oh, they did.
They
yeah.
moved
yeah.
a lot of books. So bottom line, he'll be able to pay his air conditioning bill down in Palm Beach.
You know what's funny about you being here? You've known Bernie for many
years.
You guys are legitimate friends. Your mom loves Bernie. He's her favorite.
But I miss his holding Bernie back. That's what my mom
By the way, trust me, she was 100% right. I've worked with the guy solo now for 2 years. But on a serious note, I was in sports for many years. I didn't know you. Now you've been on this show twice. Met you for the first time today. And you're an elegant, sharp, smart, tough guy. I mean, these are all worthy compliments.
Thank you.
But when the whole thing went down with Glenn Beck, over Trump. I didn't know who you were. And when it went down, I'm like, who is this maniac, this idiot, this Brad Thor? So just so you know, for folks who are not knee-deep in this business and don't know you, that thing came off like you. You're some out-of-control, raging maniac who's got no self-control.
It was, I think it was blown way out of proportion, because what I was talking about is if the Constitution gets ripped up and Congress doesn't do its job, who's going to step up and do that? And so it wasn't, it got spun by a bunch of these neo-Nazis as, oh, he wants to get Trump assassinated. Right. And that was not the thing. It was, there's a lot of people in this country that take an oath to protect and defend the Constitution from all enemies, foreign and domestic. And I'm not a New Yorker. I don't know Trump. I'm just seeing this guy popping off and saying all this stuff. I'm from Chicago, and I'm like, we don't really talk like that here. We don't do that. And I'm going, if this guy's president and he decides he doesn't like the Constitution, that might not be a bad thing. And that was the conversation. But a bunch of the neo-Nazis that don't like conservative guys were like, hey, let's see if we can get him and Beck in trouble. And it was ridiculous. We weren't talking about harming Trump.
That was all during the campaign as well, as I recall.
It was during the primaries, actually.
During the primaries, yes. So having you brought that up and you just discussed it, now the president's been president for almost about a year and a half.
Yep.
And so now what are your thoughts?
I think he's done some fantastic stuff. I think I'm thrilled we're going to get another Supreme Court nomination out of him, which is fabulous. We have a surplus with Canada. So then on the other side, I want to compliment him. And then he goes slapping around Justin Trudeau and the Canadians. It's one of the few places where we're making money.
Right.
We've got a surplus with Canada. So that confuses me, because it sends bad messages to our enemies if we're rough on our allies, just for no reason. So because I write about national security stuff and I look at what's going on with our, sharing intelligence with other agencies around the world. That stuff confuses me, the allies and being rough on Merkel and all that stuff. But no, you cannot objectively and honestly look at what he's done and say he hasn't done good things. You can disagree with his style, and I do on many occasions. I'd rather him try to bring people together a little bit more than just kind of narrow casting to the base. Because I think it's really toxic, and we've got more that unites us in this country than divides us. There's more that we have in common.
But you were a Ted Cruz guy, right?
I worked on Rick Perry's campaign.
Rick Perry?
Actually, yeah. I did Santorum's campaign a couple cycles ago, and then I did Perry's.
But when it came down to it, it was just Trump and Cruz pretty much towards the end there. And in any case, if let's say we had a President Cruz.
Yep.
He would have been just as demonized and slaughtered by this media.
Absolutely, almost, no question.
As Trump is now being the target of. So in other words, it would have happened no matter what. To any anybody who beat Hillary would have gotten slaughtered by the media, and it would have happened. We would have been similarly divided. But in spite of all that slaughter that he gets, the assault by the nonstop attacks by the media,
he's tough.
He's succeeding.
Yeah. No, listen, I think it's I just got probably one of the crappiest reviews I've ever gotten from the Washington Post. So now I am behind. I'm behind the president anytime he wants to slam the Washington Post. Some dude that they had write this review from Massachusetts, this guy. And you know what? It was not about my book. The guy was basically virtue signaling to his group that because I'm an NRA member, I'm a bad guy, and anything I put out is not worthy of reading. So, I think if President Trump, if he wants to set up a tag team and just, tag me in,
let's do it.
I'll go after Washington Post for a while so he can have a rest, go down to Mar-a-Lago, and I'll just hammer him for a weekend.
Now,
he can take the weekend
like
off.
Anybody that comes in, we have to go to this subject. Of course, the immigration, that's on everybody's tongue today.
Yep.
How do you think he's doing with that? You use the word division, divide. That seems to be a very popular word today.
All right. So I was in Hawaii when Scaramucci got the director of communications position, and I was texting.
Good friend of ours.
He's on the show every Wednesday, by the way.
So I like Scaramucci a lot. I was in Hawaii with my family, and I'm texting with him because I was like, all right, great. Here's somebody who's super smart, who understands stuff. When the travel ban rolled out, one of my biggest problems with it was that they didn't set up a comm strategy before they did it. Six of the seven countries countries Obama had picked. So if they had been smart, instead of pissing everybody off, you know, it's great, you know, Obama's watchwords were don't do stupid stuff, and this kind of is break stuff. But if you don't have a calm strategy ahead of time, they should have come out and said, listen, six of these seven countries were recommended by President Obama. We're new. We're going to do what President Obama thinks is good. He could have made it Obama's travel ban and saved himself a lot of heartache. Mm. And it's the same thing with the whole family separation. I understand why that exists. We're not going to bore the listeners about the Flores ruling and why you've got to put these kids, you separate them.
I bored them initially because there was a lot of ignorance going on. It's the law, folks.
It's the law. There was a court case. But if you can tee that up ahead of time and you pick 15 to 20 guys that'll go out, guys, gentlemen and ladies, to go out and carry that message and say, listen, here's the stupid thing that happened and we have no choice. So we either do catch and release like Obama did, which doesn't work, or we have to do this. So if you don't like the law, here's the law. But this is, I talked to Laura Ingraham about this. Yeah. This is ridiculous. They don't communicate.
But as you're telling us all this, which is completely rational, makes a lot of sense, and would have saved President Trump a lot of aggravation, everything you're saying is so not Donald Trump. So not him.
Either way, he did sign an executive order to change it.
After saying he couldn't sign an executive order.
Okay, but nevertheless, a week and a half ago, he signed that executive order. And yet, on Saturday, they were out protesting about separation of families. Yeah. He already rectified the situation.
They're not coming back together fast enough.
To me, it was a pretext to throw another Trump temper tantrum, essentially. Now, in the studio with us, we have Brad Thaw, best-selling author. Tomorrow, the book is released. One of the latest, very prolific author, Brad Thaw. Tomorrow, Spymaster gets released. It's a fantastic read. I'm in the middle of it. And again, it touches on NATO, his guy Scott Horvath, who is the former Navy SEAL, and he works for the CIA now, pretty much. And Brad was actually embedded with the CIA in Afghanistan in the special ops unit.
Technically, they weren't CIA, but it was an intelligence thing that was going on in Afghanistan. So I did
just like with this guy, Scott Horvath.
That was a good trip.
Now, listen, it focuses on, as you pointed out, NATO and Russia, et cetera, et cetera. And the president will be meeting with Putin after NATO, believe it or not. It's just coincidence with this book. But
no coincidence. He's a genius. He figured all this thing out.
People are freaking out.
I'll give you the lottery number after we go off air, okay?
Thank you, Brad.
All right.
People are freaking out, but when you think about it, Trump has been tough on Russia. I mean, he bombed them in Syria, killed 200 Russians. And he also, he armed the Ukrainians.
Yep.
And also,
shut the consulate down in the Pacific Northwest.
That's right.
Kicked out 60 staff.
And it was
there.
Under Obama that the Russians invaded Crimea.
Right.
And he did
which
nothing.
Was unforgivable.
Right.
Because we had a pact with them. We said, because after the Soviet Union collapsed, a third of the nukes from the Soviet Union were in Ukraine. And we said, if you guys get rid of the nukes, we'll protect you. We'll never let anybody invade you.
That's right.
And then nothing. Some meaningless sanctions.
So even though he kind of cozies up verbally to Putin, he's been a lot tougher than his predecessor.
He was wearing a Russian soccer jersey on Saturday, Trump. Hey, listen, before you leave, you got to run in 30 seconds. All these great books you write, you're a Chicago guy.
Yeah.
Can you write the real truth about what's happened to Sammy Sosa?
That is unbelievable. Sammy, I don't even recognize him anymore.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Worse than Michael Jackson. He looks totally different.
What was the joke about Michael Jackson? America's such a great country because it's the only place where you can be born a poor African-American child in Indiana and die a rich old white woman in California. That was the best line about Michael Jackson.
That's absolutely hilarious. Yeah. Hey, Brad Thaw, the prolific author, his latest thriller is Spymaster. You got a personal story, too, that's incredible. You were studying business, and you were like, what, I can't do this. Yeah. You got up and walked out.
Tough.
Got married. Your wife encouraged you. 4 years later, you came up with The Lions of Lucerne, which is, to this day, people say your best work.
Yeah, that's the first one. Everybody loves the first one.
But follow your dreams, folks. Brad Thaw didn't. Look at him now.
That's it.
He's the man. Brad Thaw, we love you, man.
Love you right back.
Spymaster's the book. Amazon.com. Go get it, folks, on the Bernie and Sid Show. We're coming right back.